Thank you so much, my good brother. And it is good to follow the life of someone like Abraham, who teaches us about a faith. Our series of studies comes from a text in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, where at the end of the text we find these words, the just shall live by faith. As I explained to you, the Bible has two sections. One demands is the doctrines of God, and the Old Testament is the example how these doctrines were practiced. Some how failed to practice, and some how good their practice. So our Bible gives us a character reference for the study, and it's found in Romans in chapter 4 and in verse 16. I'd like to read it for you. Romans 4 verse 16 tells you the greatest example, if you look for an example of faith, the greatest one is there. Romans 4 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith. Of Abraham, and look at what the Bible said, of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so Abraham becomes the picture, the center picture in the scripture of faith. So we look to Abraham's life in order to draw a spiritual and practical lessons, which will enable us to be the Christian persons God wants us to be. I just make a little review for you. On the first lesson, we have the call of faith. God called Abraham. Abraham respond. You got the picture? God calls. That's how relationship with God comes. God calls, and then we need to respond to that. And that, remember, was in Genesis 15:6 and Romans 10:17, where the Bible said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. In order to be a child of God, you need to hear the call of God. And when you hear it, the Holy Spirit in you will burden your heart until you respond to that call. That is how salvation comes. And that was the first lesson. The second, that was to walk by faith. In other words, walking by faith means you practice what you believe. That's simple like that. You practice what you believe. And there is a whole chapter for that, and that's Genesis chapter 12. Now, today is our third study, and I think I have one more on Abraham. And what is the heart of a man of faith made of? I would like you to look with me at Genesis 18 today that our brother read, and see three sides of a man of faith, the three parts of his heart. Now, a heart has four parts, as you know, medically, all right? I don't want you to think I made a mistake. A heart has four parts medically, but remember the blood was in chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, and 4, and goes, and the blood comes. But we're not talking about medicine. We're talking about the physical, mental, and spiritual reaction of this man. I want to see the three sections of his heart. So let us see the three sides of a heart of a man of faith. By the way, in my notes, the three sides of the man of faith at this point is correct. On the top, I use a Chinese typewriter, and the word three means the H. You got it? The word three means the age. You see, and the top of the outline said the three looks like a three, side, but really if I want to say number three, all right? And I say it like that. See, you cannot use Chinese typewriters. All right. Before I talk about Koreans, but now let's go a little bit with Chinese. All right. Now, there are three sides of this man that as you read the chapter and you think about what he did, comes to you. And then, if you are like me, I envy that. I really envy that. And I read it again, and I said, Lord, give it to me. Because I believe. And I have a heart to believe. And I said, God, I want that. I want that even at my old age. I want that in my life. So let's see it. Verses 1 to 8 talks about that he had a servant heart. It is a very spontaneous heart, a servant heart. You don't need to ask for a service. The servants see a need and do the service. Three visitors came to Abraham, and he sprang into action speedily. He moves fast, trying to supply every need of these people. Let's read it. Chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. The heart of a servant is spontaneous. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre. And he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Verse 3, and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your heart, and that you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, Do as you have said. Verse 6, So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. Are we glad that we have a wife? And when we need something, we tell the wife what to do. He did not make it, but he went to his wife and said, Now, cook, because we have these people here with us. So it wasn't spontaneous. You see, the man did not ask for food. The man did not say, No, we come from a long trip and we are tired and we have no meals. It was spontaneous. He saw the man and he saw the need. May I just remind you that the Lord deserves the best service we can give him. When we are serving him, regardless of how tedious the task, we should do our best to recognize whom we serve, and we should seek to do the best possible to his glory. Reminds me of that text in Colossians, in chapter 3, and in verse 23. It is a very short text. Colossians 3:23 said this, And whatever you do, remember, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So when you're going to serve the Lord, you do it to the Lord and not to men. I did a mistake in my life at 18 when I was saved. A very boo-boo mistake. You know, when you become saved, you're so full of enthusiasm. You wonder why the church is only on Sunday. You want the church every day. You want to be with God's people. You want to do this. My uncle was the pastor of the church. That's a very no-no, because if I do something wrong, he tells my mother. But that was not the problem. I want to serve the Lord. And so I told my uncle, you know, what can I do? I'm already in university. I'm a skilled man, very intellectual, and so on. What can I do? So I talked to the ladies and talked to the ladies' committee. And the ladies' committee called me and said, Well, we want to assign you a job. Oh, I put my suit and I said, All right, tell me, what job I have? And she said, We want you to be our janitor. It was a tall church. And you see the roof? You know how to do it. You get your stairs, you clean everything done. I went home mad. Hurt me. But then I said, I want to do it to the Lord. And I'm going to clean that building that those ladies will know who am I. And I did. And so the ladies called me again. They said, you did such a good job that you will be a permanent janitor in this church. We don't need to hire anybody. You will be. A spontaneous service to the Lord. You don't need to be called. You see a need and you do it. And I know our church does. So he had a servant heart. It was a spontaneous heart. Was a quality heart. Look at verse 7 and verse 8. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 7 and 8. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they eat. Wow. He did not sit down and eat with them. He just prepared everything for them. Not only Abraham was quick in his service to the Lord, but also he was sacrificial in his service to the Lord. He went to his own flock and personally selected one nice calf and killed and prepared the calf for their meal. In other words, he was really one to please these people. He wants, service doesn't mean that I have to ask you. You just do it, and you do it the best you can. We haven't really become a servant until our service costs us something personally. That's very important. This man now has select cattle and select things, and he used his servant time, and he's putting out of his income things for serving these people. Being willing to sacrifice for your master is a sign that you are processed as a man who has a servant's heart, and that costs you. Whatever the service is, maybe cost your time, maybe cost your tithe, and maybe cost your talents. And I'm the one who called people and said, well, you do this for me, and I don't take that very lightly. When you say, yes, Pastor, I will do it. And I mean, I'm using your talent. You are given to the Lord. You maybe don't thought about it, but you are given to the Lord your talent. And immediately after I call, I pray. And I thank God for the people of our church who have that remarkable talent. I remember at the beginning of the church, you know how the bulletin was done? It was done in typewriters. And Mary Cassangian was the English proofreader. And I had to type it, retype it then 10 times before Sunday. And then the Lord provided the Noriels. And on my way to work to radio, I left it on Dana's door. And Dana's would come in and take that and prepare it and put it together. So, you know, we all have that. We all have given to the Lord something. And I felt good as I looked at that. We all have given to the Lord something, our talent, and took time and money and papers and colors and ink and whatever, but you give it to the Lord without asking and without thinking. The greatest service you can offer is yourself. That is the greatest service. It is willingly rendered at the request of the Master for his glory. And the best text in the New Testament that recalls this to me, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, 1 said this in the book of Romans, in chapter 12 and in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know that word sacrifice? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I know that when I ask for a favor to do something in the church, and this church have no employees, so everybody's a volunteer, and so therefore, the wonder is when I ask somebody, I know I'm taking part of your time. And you have the right to own your time and to do what you want with your time. And I appreciate your gift. appreciate the gift of my partner, Pastor Greg Tomlinson. Each time I think of him, I cry, because I cannot, it should have 4 or 5 before assistant pastors, but I cannot have one with a servant heart like he has. The others were good men, but this one has a servant heart what he has. It's just remarkable. So it's just like Abraham, don't we? He has a spontaneous heart, he has a quality heart, and he's a quiet heart. In other words, look in verse 8, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 8. While his visitors were eating with meal that he provided, Abraham stood quietly by to serve them in any way he might need to serve them. He simply stood beside them, adopting the pose of a servant, listening for their voice as they requested. And look at here in Genesis 18, in verse 8. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they eat. Well, that was better than me. If I get a meal for somebody, I say, hey, do you like this? Do you like the other? He, no, just quiet. I talk too much. I guess the Spanish people talk too much. But, you know, I like to talk. When we are in the meal and home, I talk all the time to Raquel. So it's just amazing. The man was quiet. Why was he quiet? Not that he was irrespectful. He wanted to know how he can serve them, observing them. Remarkable. Romans 12:1 is just verse 8 is the great picture here. And there is another text that reminds me how blessed we are. It's in Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Another text that really reminds me of the blessings of God. The Bible said, you know, he was waiting. He was waiting how to serve these people. He didn't know the blessing those people would be for him, by the way. He didn't know that one of them was the pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus himself. He didn't know. But he was doing the service, period. And in Isaiah 40, verse 31, the Bible said, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wow. If you are like me, I said, well, how long, Lord? I had to wait. How long I had to wait? How long? I learned that I cannot even ask that. I had to be quiet. But those who wait upon the Lord shall never shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. You like eagles? You saw an eagle taken off? It's amazing. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And some of you are like that to me and to this church. And I thank you that you are that kind of servant. Ladies, I thank you for all the things you do in our church and all the things that the missionary ladies that our church, the group of ladies in our church, all the things that they do without thinking, just giving. And so that is a quiet heart. See, real servants of God are those individuals who make themselves ever available to the Lord and his work. They are ready and willing to serve him on a moment's notice. I'm so glad when I pick my phone number. I don't know why I don't memorize Greg's phone number. I had to have it written in papers. Greg, this the internet is flying away. Oh, push this button, push the other button, and the thing goes. It's just amazing. Real servants of God are those individuals who made themselves available. They are ready and willing to serve him on a moment's notice. When there are no others to follow, they continue to do the last thing he told them and follow their orders. They never stop. They are his, and they have no will of their own, but they are lost in his will for their life. That is a servant. In other words, you are moving yourself in a way that whatever the Lord wants me today to do, just I do it. So that was the first part of this. Abraham has a remarkable servant heart. He don't ask for explanation. He don't ask for anything else. He just want to do the things and did it without somebody telling him what to do. Also, he had a believer's heart. Verses 19 to 20. He believes the impossible. God had given him this promise repeatedly to Abraham. And let me read it for you so you know what I'm talking about. Chapter 18, verses 9 to 15. He has a believer's heart. Listen to this. Then they say to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Now, I want between parentheses to give you a hint. If you have read Genesis back and forth, you learn that God sometimes talked to one person but not talked to the other. Now, Sarah was his wife. And God talked three times already to Abraham that he will have a baby. But God never talked to Sarah that she will have a baby. Now, these people are 90 and 100. Now, look at this. Verse 9 again. Then they say to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were all well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abram, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?'" You know that a great text to cut it on and put it in your wallet? "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, when I want it," said the Lord, "I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." No, may have a son, could be have a son, send it to the clinic. No, he said, she will have a son. Boy, I like God. When he says something, he do it. It's no great? I don't know why we don't read the Bible more and start jumping of joy. "At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Verse 15, but Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Now, what I want to say here is this. He has a believer, a believer's heart. And a believer's heart believes the impossible. All right? God has given this promise before to Abraham. The last time was in 17:17. Look at Genesis 17:17. Then Abraham fell on his face, laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" He was 10 years older than Sarah. And so he's reasoning like a man now. And each time we reason like a man, we lose it. He said, "Well, wait a minute. Biologically, I cannot produce a baby, neither she can do the gestation of a baby. And so therefore, how this is going to happen?" All right? It's just amazing. So Abraham laughed for joy and Sarah laughed for doubt. Amazing. Now, this episode is a reminder that God knows everything that is to know about you and me. God knows you and me, and he knows what we need. Ain't no great? God knows exactly what we need. And he knows our motives, our secret sins, and all things we do. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of the Lord. And I want to show it to you in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4 and in verse 13. A very serious text for all of us believers in the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Look at what the Bible said. "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." We study in Sunday school here this morning about an accountability to the Lord. And how beautiful it is, these texts remind us that God knows everything. So Abraham believes, has a believer heart. He believed the impossible. He also believes in God's revelation. He believes that. This is a precious point in Abraham's relationship with the Lord because of who he is, how he has conducted himself, and the future of him is just to follow God's revelation to his life. Imagine being in a position of closeness to the Lord that motivated him to share his heart with you. Look at verse 16 to 21, what the Bible said in Genesis. Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Isn't that great? God has a plan for Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, shall I hide this from my friend? God. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Verse 20. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. And so here is a picture that he believes in God's revelation. He has a great communication with God. God wants to have the same kind of relationship with each and every one of us. In the book of James, in chapter 4 and in verse 8, the Bible tells us that God wants to communicate with us. Look at, in James chapter 4 and in verse 8, the Bible said this word, draw nearer to God, and look at what the Bible says, and he will draw nearer to you. So there is no excuse not to get closer to God, don't we? He just expressed that. So when we are in a position of closeness to him, he will share his heart and his will with us. So I learned a secret on this, that if you are close to God, then you know God's will for your life. If you really read the scripture and you really pray and you really walk with the Lord and fear God and do what God said, he will reveal to you little by little, day by day, God's will for your life. You don't have to be afraid. Girls, you don't have to be afraid who's going to be your husband next. If you fear the Lord and you do his will and you follow his step and you follow his Bible, he will bring that little monster in front of you and you will like it. Men, the same thing. You know, when I was young and I was 17, 18, and because I was in a sport, I was afraid that I never going to get married. I don't know why. I told my uncle, I live with my grandparents, so I have my uncles, you know, 40, 50 years old, and they told me, don't worry about it. God's going to bring a girl to you. You will see a tall, blonde, blue-eyed girl, and the Lord brought me tiny, no blue, you know. It's just amazing. It's just nice. Don't be afraid of God's will. Just get closer to God. Do what God tells you to do. If you're a mother, do the functions of a mother. You're a wife, do the functions of a wife. You're a husband, be responsible as a husband. Care for your wife, care for your family, sacrifice to death for your home. And do exactly what God said, and God will reveal to you the next step in your life, just like Abraham. What a great God we have. So he has a believer's heart. He believed whatever God said, and God was with him. Now finally, not only he has a servant heart, He has a believer's heart, but also he has an intercessor heart. And in verse here, the Bible revealed this in a marvelous way. Abraham stood before the Lord, and when the angel departed, he drew near to the Lord. In verses 22 in Genesis, in verses 22 and verse 23, the Bible said, then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's a great question. When the end of the world come, will that will be altogether righteous and saints or not? He has that question. I praise the Lord for the truth that God's children can approach him and draw as near as they place to the Heavenly Father. Listen to his invitation. You don't have to look on it because of the time, but I read it for you. In Matthew 11:28, the Bible said, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can come to God. In Hebrews 4:15 and 16, the Bible said this, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the times of need. And so the Bible over and over and over again emphasized this beautiful relationship that we need not to be afraid to come into the throne of God. Even if we have failed, even if we have failed horribly, God is there with us, not with a finger, but with the arms of love. So he drew near to God, and he had a dialogue with the Lord. That's amazing. In verse 24 and 25, the Bible said in Genesis 18:24, suppose there were 50 righteous with the city, will you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, as Abraham talking, as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? In other words, he said, Lord, when the end of the earth come, and when the destruction come, will the believers and unbelievers die together and you mash them in this way? What are you going to do about it? Boy, so he's concerned about God's reputation. You say you save us, what kind of protection do we get? Secondly, he's thinking about Lot and his family. He really thinking about it. Look at verse 32. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry. He loved his family, of course. And I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy for the sake of 10. He got an answer from the Lord. If there were 10 people that are saved, I will not destroy them because they are there. Now, he was thinking of Lot. Lot were only 8 people. 8, and maybe he thought that Lot maybe win somebody to the Lord and was with him and so, because the family of Lot was only 8 people. So although Abraham did not know it at the time, his prayer was answered. Look in chapter 19 and in verse 29. The prayer that he prayed to protect his family was answered. Chapter 19, 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrown, when he overthrew the cities which Lot had dwelt. God promised and God fulfilled his promise and protected Lot. So here we study a man of faith today, a man who has a heart of faith, a man who has a servant heart, a man who has a remarkable believer's heart. He believes God. and a man who have an intercessor heart. If you're a father, you're a mother, the best function for your children is intercession. Pray for them and pray for them. Stop any condemnation on them and pray for them and pray for them. That whatever sometimes children can express what's going on, sometimes they cannot. And the Lord will take it away, and respect that and love that and pray. The Lord will act in your children in a marvelous way. I pray for my grandchildren all the way, thinking that my little granddaughter is way in New Zealand, studying over there. I said, Lord, and then she sent me pictures in a mountain. I said, Lord, she's crazy. She's going through this mountain and going through the other place. Then she jumped from a thing, going down and up. And I said, Lord, please. I said, you hear my prayers? I'm praying. How good our God is, don't we? How good our God is. So I thought myself this, if there is anything you need to take away from this service today, it's only this. It's found in 2 Chronicles, and it's found in chapter 7 and in verse 14, and almost you know it by heart. If it's anything I want to communicate to you today on the servant heart, it is, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Many pastors in the area send me believers who are in trouble in their matrimony to talk to me. And they call me and say, I have this, and it's better that you talk to them, and nobody knows. And once in a while, I have joy of this. There is a couple that come to, once in a while visit our church. And it's from a very large church in the area. They were apart as they can be. And when they asked me to meet with them, I said, my wife will be with me because she's a woman, and she understands women, and I understand men, and so we listen to you. And so they spoke, both of them. And then I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, wonderful? I'm thinking in this way, and she's thinking in this way. So I said, he's very strong. I said, I think your wife is guilty. Oh, no, he's defending his wife. I said, oh, boy, I got the point. So I got a little 3x5 car with a text for you. 3x5 car, text for you. Put it wherever you are, read it every day, and when you are convicted, call me. A year went by, and they called me. They are convicted. They are together. They don't want to divorce. They don't want to separate. They don't want to do anything crazy the world teaches to do. Say, Pastor, we got the message. Well, I'm so glad. See, the believer, if you're a believer, you come out of the trouble. It comes out of the trouble. And the joy they had today is greater than any joy they ever experienced, they told me. And they have 5 children, some of them 35, some of them 40. They keep calling and say, Pastor, thank you. And I thank God because I only did 3x5 car with a text. And I give her a text that said in 1 Peter 3:1, wife, obey your husband, just follow him. So, Pastor, that's what God said. St. Peter said. And you do this, love your wife as Christ loved the church. But Pastor, hey, that's it. Go home with that. And when you practice, call me. Don't call me before. See, faith needs to be practiced, don't we? Faith needs to be practiced. Young people can be done. Old people can be done. If we diligently follow the Lord, faith can be practiced. So may God give us these 3 sides of heart, that we may believe in the Lord and peacefully. Now, I want to tell you, there are times that are not easy. There are times of suffering. There are times of agony. And yes, I understand it. And my shoulder is with your shoulder. But let the Lord release you and move on. May God bless us and give Bethel, the people of Bethel, a heart to believe. Father, thank you for the lessons from Abraham. He is number one. He teaches us to believe in you. He teaches us to serve you like everything is okay. And he teaches us to intercede with you. So, Father, thank you, thank you. Help me to pray. Help me to intercede. Help me to trust you. Help me to believe you, so that my life will be walking with you. In Jesus I pray. Amen.